Bill and Gunn, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition.
It's all the one and the same, you know, with Cathy Freeman running around with the flag on the back, the Aboriginal flag.
Always was, always will be. Yidingi territory, and that's a beautiful thing.
She was demonstrating she's Australian.
Hey, Bill and Gunn, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. This wonderful week, I guess it's going fairly quick already, and the year's going very quick, actually, now that I think about it. But Black Law Tribal Edition with you, we've got a full, we've got all the aces here, you know. We've got the ace of spade, the blackest one, Yirralum, and we've got ace of hearts, Ganyara, ace of diamonds, Bumi, and I'll be the ace of clubs, the gammon stale one, no one want it. But anyway, we're not the aces, but we love to talk, and we just thank you for joining us today. The true aces are out there doing the hard work, the elders and all the people that live on the Yidingi territory doing good things. They're the true heroes. We're just the ones that talk about stuff that goes to air, and we try and convey certain things to promote the Yidingi nation and its standing and at law. Always was, always will be Yidingi territory, and that's a beautiful thing. And Bumi, I'm going to start with you first because I think it's really important, that purple microphone there, about the court ceremony. The Yidingi nation was present at this, what they call the law ceremony. It's the first time ever, let's say in Australia's history, that it's done outside of a church and it involves a tribe. But this week it was a little bit different because the Yidingi flag was the one that was flying there by itself above all the other flags that were at ground level. Well, ours was at the very top, and that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, good you lived to see this day and you didn't see it. Your father and grandfather and all the Yidingi mob that were part of this movement and, you know, have passed on now. But there's a new generation that can learn about these things and how important they were. You're obviously very, very proud to see these things come to real life, and there's plenty more to come.
Yeah, well, like Uncle said, that I'll come true in, with Dad and Mum. As you know, Mum come from there, Dad from here. He's an elder of the Yidingi tribe, and that's a big thing for me, that we're having a ceremony with the court. They put the wig down and I put my shield on. And, that's very good for me to see that we was taught like about the law, and our appearance there is a big thing. And we had a good morning there. We started about seven, and so I was thinking of making up some song, and I got three of them here, so I got to put that all into songs there. But I'm very happy this morning, and I get happy nearly every day or half a day or whatever. But I feel real good with his lot. His front row, his winger there, and we work very good here. I don't worry for the curry, but he'll listen to us. But I'm really, you know, proud of myself. You know, Dad and them and all the Yidingi tribe, and to see us there, you know, that he'll be seeing us on TV tonight or tomorrow. That to see us there, you know. Yeah. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, Ganyara. Very, very important thing that Gudjugudju and his family and Gimwebara Wallabara Society have managed to put that together, and that's a wonderful thing. And it was really impressive to see all the men there today, the other day. Well, it was Monday. And Juruju and Mundi, Jamabalam, Bumi. I think it's not just symbolic for us. People may see that or interpret it as symbolic, but not very much from our point of view, because when we're looking at it, they're talking about the Yidingi nation, they're talking about the Gimoi Wallabara Society, they're talking about how this law ceremony derives from British custom and tradition, where they acknowledge different law. And like anthropology, they study a foreign society. In this case, the Law Society of one legal universe or culture has acknowledged the other, which is the first in time law, which is Yidinji's. And not only that, a credit to James Henry, who acts as Justice Henry, the Supreme Court of Queensland, for making that possible, the Yidinji Nation flying very high. What do you interpret from that particular event?
Let's have a real look at what's going on. The Yidinji flag is the representative flag of the Yidinji government of the Yidinji Nation. Now, Gudja Gudja, when he made that flag, he was acting as chief minister, and his contribution to the Yidinji government, Yidinji Nation, it must be understood that Yidinji Nation is just not one mob. It's made of everyone. This is a joint collective effort of which he was part of it. You know, he only made this. So he brought his contribution into the Yidinji government and the Yidinji Nation is that flag that's flying the highest on the flagpole anywhere inside Yidinji territory. And that represents all of Yidinji mob, not just one mob. Not the Gimoi mob, not the Tableland mob, not the, you know, it doesn't matter. It represents the lot. What it does say to the Australian legal system, being the highest flag, this is something most people don't understand, is the law of flags. The highest flag is the law of which is applied to the whole nation. Now, who is subject to whose authority? Who come under whose country? And if I asked Uncle, who come under whose country, Uncle? You tell me.
You see, like that... Thank you, son. I'm getting greedy if I talk. See, that painting on that shield there, that's the flag of Yidinji. To represent all the Yidinji. It's not a one-man band or we're living on one island. See, it's not a high thing. It's all the Yidinji. You know? We've all done the same work and we all, you know, went along together. But it's not a one-man band. See, Dad used to paint people with his name. He said, well, if you first don't want you or where you come from, you come with me then. You come with me then. Oh, sorry. You leave me then? You come with us. Come to be an Yidinji. If not, what happening here? Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, oh, sorry. See, Dad used to paint people, you know. Say, right. Or say, you know, you come with me. It's not a one-man band. It's not a one-tribe thing. It's all Yidinji. Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously not only one mob got shot and dispossessed and all this bad things. And Henrietta actually, Bukabukal, spoke of the crimes and atrocities of genocide that took place inside the Yidinji territory. And that was a very, very moving and stirring part of the presentation because everyone was listening, obviously, and the message again for decolonisation. And Australia, the Commonwealth, whatever that thing is, has to decolonise to the original people. In this case, that was the message of this particular event.
Or, as Uncle said, when the wigs were laid down, the justices laid their wigs on the ground, he put his shield on top. That meant the superior law for this country is the one that's coming out of the Yidinji office, the Yidinji government. That is superior law, but there's one law higher than that, and that's tribal law. And that's what allows the government. Now, when Uncle was talking about his father painting him up, that's tribal stuff. That's very, very serious stuff. But Australia isn't a tribe. Where's their tribal country? Where are the tribe of Australia? There is none. So we had to create this thing underneath. And, you know, the creation of the Yidinji government was many years ago. And it was a collective effort again. Once again, we met under a mango tree. We're sitting down creating this government so we could be an equal with Australia. We're not going to destroy Australia. You know, where are we going to put all the Australian people? We're going to work together and create this treaty thing that Uncle, under his tribal law, you've got every right to eject everyone. You know, this is our country. Let's have a declare war and we throw them all out. But we're not like the British. We're not like that. We're not going to cause genocide. We're not going to kill people. We're trying to let the Australians live on our country. So, and they call that treaty because the sovereignty has never been ceded. Uncle's sovereignty, which is part of it's one clan, one canton of the Yidinji Nation. No one has ceded any territory to anyone. So our territory is still here, but we've got to assert our sovereignty on the territory with cool heads, not hot heads. We don't want to fight and argue over it. We know who the real owners are, who the real people are. So the tribal law is very, very sacred. We can't touch that or destroy that. But at a government level, which is what we create, it's just like Australia. Men and women are equal at the government level. Everything can work together harmoniously if we form a government properly and there's no tribal conflict. That's what it's there for, and we're going to deal with Australia collectively as a Yidinji government and not throw the Australians out, but we're going to work a deal. We've got to work towards a treaty. So you know, Uncle's role is very, very important. Just like all the other elders, proper, true and correct elders of the tribe empower the government to be here to go forward and get that flag flying. Just like Gudjigudji, when he brought that in, the flag was flying now, flying the highest it's ever been. And once again, Buku Buku give a speech there, you know, to tell the world what actually happened to the mob. And, you know, that is so important. They call it truth-telling. And guess what? QPS don't want to take part in truth-telling, but they got no choice in the matter. They have made it very clear in their Track the Treaty stuff that the truth will not be told by them. It's going to be, so we're going to tell the truth and we're going to let them know that there's a real issue. So there's the problem.
I think, Colin, you wanted to say something. You're holding that flag there now in the office.
So I'm in the office. I'm holding this flag there. That's mean nothing to me, the flag. This shield is in me. I believe in this.
That's right. Because that's the highest law.
This is really nothing, this flag. Because that shield is in me, see? See, what Dad made, he painted, you know? That's for all of us to tell the story about it, you know? Yeah, see, this at home here. This is paint when Mum used to have it, me and the gumball. She had to heat that clay to bring us through. And he's all this walkabout place here. This shield is, we're born with it, you know? Oh, that's there. See, they still hate us. Boy, the black fella's still here, you know? See, but if you walk over with a flag all day, that's maybe for Mike to stand up or in the office. But when you're walking around there, they still don't like it because it's in us.
That's right. You hit it on the head. And Ganyara, the only reason why that flag exists is so we can put it on vessels to identify that this is a Yidinji vessel or a persona of some sort. And it can only copy the tribal law, but it can't be the shield. It has to be something different that looks like it. But as Kalana said, Bumi said, is right. The true law is carried in him, and we know that because he's of his father and his father's father. Same with Mundi Juritju Jamablam, father's father, father, and that's where the power lies.
And that's the tribal level. That's the tribal level of that shield. The uncle, you know, he holds tribal law within him, but we had to make a flag that they can see, they understand. Australia can't have a shield. Where's their shield? They don't have one. They got a coat of arms, which is old English law, but they don't have that shield. Now, our shield, the Yidinji shields, all of them shields that old people have, are of a higher standing than any coat of arms. And we had to raise a flag. If we put the shield up on a flagpole, they wouldn't have a clue what it is. You know, most people do not understand flags, the law of flags, which is very important. That's why we've done it. The flag goes up the pole, and it's underneath. It's actually below the shield, because the shield is the tribe. Remember, and the government is created by the tribe to represent the tribe for and on behalf of those tribal people. So that's why we've got to protect the tribal law that Uncle has written on his shield. You know, that shield is everything. That shows that he knows law and he's a lawman at the real tribal level. But the law is in him because his grandfather, his great-great-grandfather passed down, great-grandfather, grandfather, father to him. And it's got to go down to his oldest boy. And that's how it is. Yidinji was always male, 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 male. Some tribes are female. They're matriarchal and not patriarchal tribes.
Mm.
So once again, the law is held by a certain people, but we have to deal with Australians. And they don't understand tribal law. They don't understand the shield, which Uncle does. And most Aboriginal people understand the shield law, that what's on the shields. Most of them around Australia do. They know what's there. But look, when Captain Cook come, he couldn't understand that shield. He didn't know that it was real law. So he had to see flags like on the back of his boat. He had the British ensign flying on the back of his boat. That's all he could understand. Nothing else. That's why the flag today was so, or the other day was so important. To fly up the flagpole, we understand the law of flags and so do the courthouse. All the chief justices right down understand that flag and what it means.
Even that German law got an old shield outside their consulate on the wall. but they have a German flag inside. So it has its roots in ancient customs, but there's only one law here, and that's the Yidinji law we're talking about. There are other spheres of law.
Inferior spheres of law.
Yes, that's right, second in time or later. But the law that we love to talk about today and every week is living right here amongst us. And when you understand where that law comes from, it comes from the Creator, passed down to specific people, family, clan groups of the world to look after certain parcels of land on this big earth. And here in the city of Ghimoi, then we know who we're talking about. And so that's a wonderful thing. But you're right, Ganyara, the world needs to see these flags because that's in their language. And the piece of paper is their language, so they can see it and hold it. And so that's where it gets exciting too. Yirrlum, I think, you know, we've seen in 1986, for example, God Save the Queen was being sung by school children, and then Advance Australia Fair came in. So there's always constant change, and this is just a natural progression that the Yidinji has to come back.
Yeah, of course it is, and, you know, it's more than a progression because it's a gift. And, you know, we talk about settling the past and securing the future. One of the gifts that the many nations of this continent bring, if the Australian laws and Australian people are ready to accept it. And, you know, for most part, we haven't seen that being the case. But it may seem something simple that we're describing here, where the culture or the tribal law sits above the government and above the economy. You know, all things are derived from the tribal or traditional cultural laws. That's the first place where you start from, and you don't have that in the Australian law system. It's very different, and that's why there is so much problem and chaos and inequity, and you know, from what so many of my friends have experienced, prejudice and so forth within the so-called law of where everyone's supposed to be equal, because in that Australian law, that's not the case, because there is not the higher law sitting above it. So you've got the cultural body being the main centre of it, and Australia doesn't have that. That's why it's failing in that sense, and that's why the gift that Yidinji bring to both the Australian representatives that are on the nation that we are on and the rest of the country is the same that all the other tribal nations can bring if people are prepared to receive it, because it is a gift where you have the morality-centred decision-making. Once that's in place, well, then you have everything else. And I'm so blessed to be on this country where, you know, we see international events going on in America and so forth where people are being deported. You know, this isn't my country. I'm not from here. My lineage takes me internationally, takes me overseas, and yet I am welcome here, and that's so special.
It is, and that's a wonderful thing. And Ganyara, coming back to the natural progression of things, that it's the correct version of law that has to be, let's say, reinvigorated, reinstituted, whatever we can describe it as. But that's happening right in front of our eyes, much to the excitement of the legal fraternity around the world, because it's something that it's like the new kid on the block.
We're not the new kid on the block. We're the oldest kid on the block that's been here forever, and they just chose not to look at us. But they got no choice. You know, as we come back to life, revitalise our stuff, we're now going to enter into the international sphere now of law. And I'll ask anyone, any Australian, any constitutional lawyer, any constitutional expert, please show us the doctrine, domestically or internationally, that let Australia assert or its claim to sovereignty on all things and all peoples on this country. Show me the document, because I know for a fact there is none. They know they can't prove it. We don't have to prove our case. Our case is right before me right now. This old bloke sitting here in the chair right before me now, who holds law from a tribal era. And then he comes, that's what he's talking about, the shield. That's why it's so important with that shield. What was instilled in him from his, you could say, his great lineage, right, what his father done to him, to say, look here, boy, you've got to learn this stuff because you're going to hold my law when I pass, you take over. So now he becomes the lawman, and the only way he can tell the world, the Aboriginal people, is to put it on a shield, on a piece of, you know, a bit of wood before them that can hold this law. So when you come along in your Aboriginal capacity. Oh, look at his shield. Oh, it's got the scorpion prick on it, the little tail sting. Oh, that's the scorpion. Oh, that must be Yidinji mob, because the scorpion was very important to the Yidinji nation collectively, not just one. Now, when I look at his shield, oh, there's a bit of salt water aspect to this. Maybe he's from down the coast, you know, so up the top where we are, we don't have salt water, so we don't have saltwater fish on it. Nothing represents saltwater fish. So we got our shields with our lore. So when he comes up there, he goes, oh, you mob aren't salt water. That's right. But now how do we get that to the Australians? How do the Australians understand it? They understand it through the flag. And the role of the education minister is to try and develop a curriculum that everyone can understand this lore. And that's why I'm saying, can you please, Australia, please tell us how you got rid of all that to bring your stuff in, you bring your rubbish in and educate us in the way of the state of Australia, yet we know our law exists and that's the superior law on this country. When I see Uncle sitting here before me, I know there's tribal law right there. Not Australian law, not Yidinji government law, this is superior law. And we had to create the next level down to be equal to Australia. That's why I keep saying, Australia, where's your mob? Where your mob from? You show me who your, you know, we always say who your daddy. So Australia, you show me who your daddy is. Where did you, oh, you mean you're English. Oh, how sad.
Well, that daddy got acknowledged at the ceremony as King Charles of Australia, and fair enough. You know, I don't have an issue with that because no one should be fatherless. And, the thing is that the king is very different here on the Yidinji territory, and the royalty is very, very different here.
So what you're saying is, we're talking about colonialism before there, you know, about decolonising, giving back to the right people. That King of Australia, that crown and right of Australia, that's a manifestation of the indivisible British crown. You mean that one that was supposed to go away in 1986 when they decolonised Australia? No more. They changed the crown. It'll become a manifestation of colonialism. And the UN agreed in 1960... to decolonise in all its forms and manifestations. But the problem was, you know, with our wisdom and, you know, like Uncle, what do we do with the Australians? Where's their homeland? You know, as Euron said, he's got our blood from overseas. A lot of us have blood from overseas. But where do we put the Australians? Whereas Uncle, when you look at his proper connection, and I can see the genetics in people as to which mob they belong to, you know, if you look at Yidinji, The scrub people, we're basically scrub people. Yidinji were very short to be in the scrub. They weren't, you know, 6'7" tall like the mob out in the open country where they need to run. They were very short so they could work in the wait a while and all those sort of very heavy scrub. They could go and get a feed and they could live there. So, you know, you can see this a mile away, the genetics.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, they must be scrub mob. They're not desert mob. So this is what I'm saying. It's all about that, but Australians come in with their big sailing boat, with the big flag hanging on the back, saying, we're the boss. Okay, well, you show us. You show us how your law beat Uncle's law here.
Mm. And those flags had their traditions in spears. A long time ago, they used to put the flag on a spear to claim and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition. We'll be back after the break.
Hi, it's Sam Martin here, Bush Tucker Woman. You're listening to BBM 98.7.
I'm from the bush! Hey, welcome back to the show. Ganyara, one of the very interesting observations made from this ceremony is to remind people that there was four flags there at that event. One was an Australian flag, a blue one with a British Union Jack in the top left-hand corner. There was an Aboriginal flag, black, yellow and red. There was a Torres Strait Islander flag, which is a black, white and turquoise or green. Blue-green. And then there was this other flag called the Yidinji flag, and that was the highest one above them. The most important thing to remember is that the Yidinji nation is not a Torres Strait Islander or an Aboriginal Australian or an Indigenous Australian. It is very, very different. All those flags, those other ones, are foreign to the Yidinji nation, and they invoke a different jurisdiction for those who identify with those flags.
Yidinji aren't Aboriginal Australians. Period. That's the end of the argument. That's why there's a separate flag. They had the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags are a con, in my opinion. They're just a scam to try and keep you within Australia. Oh, look, you got your own flag. You're special. No more. You're no more special than the other flag. It's all the one and the same. You know, when Cathy Freeman ran around with the flag on the back, the Aboriginal flag, she was demonstrating she's Australian. She was at the Olympics, won the race, good on her, done very well. But she said, I'm an Australian. Australia has three official flags. One is for proper full-on ceremony, and that's the blue one with the Union Jack and the stars all over it. That's Australia's flag. That represents Australian law. That's the highest law inside Australia, is represented by that flag. Why was our flag, the Yidinji one, separate to the mother two Aboriginal and Islander flags? Because we're not of that world. And this is where, you know, Yurlin will pass a comment on that because he knows more about that than me.
No, well, I don't necessarily, but I just want to remind, because I keep doing this, but every time you mention Australia, you're not talking about country. Every time you say, you know, you're not an Indigenous Australian, you're not talking about the continent that we know is to be, you know, broken into, you know, a couple of hundred different nations. It's referring to a bit of paper that's about the law and the jurisdiction. So an Indigenous Australian is not referring in any way to the country, is it?
Absolutely not. And when the, if you read Australian legislation, it'll actually say about the word Australia, when used geographically. So there must be another use for Australia, and that's the legislative paper world. But when used geographically, it's this big island continent that's here with all the dirt and trees on it. But we're not talking geographically. We're talking about the paper world, the you know, science of law. So, but they don't have the right to put their law above ours because Uncle is still here, and I will bet money on anyone. You show me any nation who ceded sovereignty. Anyone who has sold out to Australia, anyone who has done a formal agreement to sell their land off, because I know Uncle here, I know he can go back through his generation, no one has.
Well, even grandfather been saying, we don't need you, to that other fellow, Gribble, and that's like, no, we can self-govern ourselves.
See like me now. My mother named Charlotte, my dad named Richard Hyde. Yeah, the father named Charlie Hyde. This stopped me when Murrumba and Gunjara came along, and I said, I better check them up. They were right. See, I wasn't good in school, and but you lot out there, really clever, you got a lot of ticket. And the sovereignty to me is a powerful thing. Because I am a sovereign baby, and I know a lot of stuff, you know. And I mightn't come top in school, but I come top on this side, you know. But just living that life, I don't see why you lot should come. Because all them old people in Australia, they never had it on the table, you know. It was hard going, but that's what they're tough. And that's why I like to be around old people in my life. Because there's sovereignty, you know. Now that we're going to keep on talking about sovereignty to get it through to you now, you lot out there, you know. I'm sure you got some old photo about your papa and granny. You know, they had hard times, and that's what you need to take on. You know, we got it easy now. You know, we got a shop and everything now, and we can do corroboree, and I got a bibber right in front of me even now, and got that one old boomerang and galka here, got the digital shield here, and I don't see why you should come and have a talk to us, you know? Yeah,
it's very, well, like we say, we never been to university. I don't think anyone, I don't know if you've been to university or not. He left, he got bored, he reckoned that's Yurlin. He went to, well, another fellow he knows went to university, he got bored. But Cullinan went to university, he began to get water when he was a boy because he had to get sent away to do all these things under tribal law. But Ginyara, the simplicity is that the Yidinji elders have got this knowledge that is far more valuable than five science degrees.
Absolutely. Look, when he was talking about what he got and where it's all been, we're talking about water, I'll never forget that Victorian MP that said, when the colonial world come, we give them running water. Man, Yidinji had running water oozing out of the hills. It was coming out everywhere.
Pristine,
untampered with water. It was perfect. And then they said, oh, we give you running water in a pipe and then we throw a bit of chlorine in just for your benefit, and a bit of fluoride. We'll make that water better for you. Nothing was better than what them old people had. They had running water laid on. And you know what? No one paid a penny for it. Everyone could drink out of that same creek. Absolutely.
And they had that minya. That minya was very good too.
So what did the colonial world bring to us? What did it bring? It pulled us all apart. It tried to pull us apart, but it didn't do it right. There was an act of settlement. And that's the very problem. If it was an act of conquest where they declared war on us, shot us all out, they won the war, fair enough. They didn't do that. They come and moved into our gunya, our humpy, our house, sat on our chair for a while, then they took over the whole house. You can't do that, can they? You know, Uncle still knows where his house belonged.
In any law, in the world, there's no law that allows you to do that in the world.
Put the microphone, please.
Yeah, there's no world, there's no law with any culture or nation in the world that allows you to walk into another person's house and take it over.
Absolutely not. They can't. And that's why I'll ask Uncle. You tell me when they come into your house and said, we got your house now. You know, you get out of your house, you know, over there. When did they do that to you?
Oh, jolly. I don't know how to give you this.
They haven't.
A long time ago, Dad.
No agreement, no sale?
No, nothing, you know. And you got me, you lot, just stuff me up, you know. I'm happy this morning because...
Too much, hey, pretty full on. And it's an acknowledgement. This flag-raising ceremony at the court was an acknowledgement of who the bosses were, who the real deal, the top shelf, you know, top of the tree people are of holders of law. And you know, what you'll notice at that ceremony, have a good look at who laid down shields. This is a patriarchal society where men speak for country. You know, and that's just so important. We can't go away from this tribal law to where the British and the manifestation of Britain had laid down their wigs first in their robes and your dingy placed their shield on top saying, look here, we'll be covering you, we'll cover your world, you're in our country, we know you're in our country, and we'll look after you under our law. If it was the other way around, if they had won this argument and won the war, we wouldn't be putting the shield down, let alone having it on top. They would have put their wig on top with the boss man, we're top dog, you toe the line. No more. What did they do with the Yeringi flag then after they finished with that there on the flagpole? They got another one.
A level four, Supreme Court.
At the Supreme Court level in the back. There she is.
What's very interesting from this now is that if you look at all the different law ceremonies in the Australian world, you can go to Perth, Darwin, whatever, not one of them has what Yeringi's got.
Coming back to this again, which Uncle again would pull me. See, Dad, he had to dance for Yarraba. He never had a pen and paper and get a mic. Like, he had all them lot. We not dance all day, but when we have a Christmas or dancing for tourists, you got to get Uncle Richard Ide there. And he kept it up with the lot. He stayed together, you know. I know some of them, his community were very tough. Some left. But Dad had to hold it, you know, to keep them comfort, you know, like, tell him you can't do this. And all these fellows that, when I see Ron Elliott and Congy Mawie and all them lot, they respect Double News and all them lot, you know, all these fellows left us now. They had their respect in the right way. You know, you can't do it, you can't run Uncle Dan, you know, Papa Richard coming in. But today we can't get that. I don't want anybody to bow down to me or anything like that. It's just that these communities are getting really empty now, and so you lot got to come back to it, you know. And
custom and tradition has to keep going.
Can go true too. If you had.
Yeah,
it is good, you know.
Well, it is good because it's if it's not kept alive, then it dies. That's as simple as that. So the very fact that we're talking about it is alive and, you know, congratulations to all the cultural practitioners out there listening. You're doing it for the longevity and the future generations, because without that culture and law, then it gets to be in a very dangerous state of being, and we don't want that to be killed off in the future. Because sovereignty hasn't been extinguished or ceded. That's the Australian legal union expert saying that about Yidinji law, for example. And so we know that for a fact. One of the amazing things is that, like I said, this is the first law ceremony that was made clear there this week with tribal elders and or leaders involved, and now the raising of a foreign flag to the Commonwealth on the correct flag for the territory in which the Commonwealth is operating, let's say. It doesn't replace a treaty, but it's certainly something that will put on the table, Gunyara, for people to consider and to actually contemplate.
They got no other choice. They got no other choice. If they can't show me the doctrine of domestic law or international law as to how Australia can claim its assertion of sovereignty over all things and all peoples on its territory, maybe they don't have one. That would mean that everything goes back to the original people who owned the place before the so-called claim by the British, the alleged claim. Maybe it's really theirs, which is why they got no choice. What they do need to do is to come to the table and talk. They've got to come to the table and talk about how we're going to coexist on this country.
Well, that's it, and that's one of the gifts I'm talking about, because Yidinji is offering Australia a treaty. And we don't need a treaty from Australia. They've got nothing that they can give us, because the land's already belonging to the elders of the land, you know, the people of the land. So it's a gift that's being offered to help them catch up to the wisdom of the Yidinji nation.
And that raises the question, if they are not truly sovereign controllers of this country, the Aboriginal nations have every right to develop international personas to go and act in the international sphere of law. Australia can't act for and on behalf of us at international law, which is the UN law, if they don't have consent from the people who own the place. So they can't say, oh, we're going to talk for you. No more. We can develop our own legal international personality, which is what the Yidinji government, it's a legal identity, it's a legal personality, so that other tribes can see us in Australia. But we can go one step over in that, and we can start to we can go and do this, recognise like the International Court of Justice, for example, or the International Criminal Court or the International Court of Arbitration. If we start to recognise that law, we've ceded a little bit of sovereignty, but we've developed a persona that's of a higher status and standing than that of Australia. What about when we start to develop into international trade, for example, or immigration? You know, we start stamping passports here with our stamp on it. What's Australia going to do? They don't have a doctrine that they can prove they've got the right to stamp someone's passport coming onto Yidinji country. Not Australia. Where's Australia's country? Where's their tribal homeland? Where's their land? They don't have one.
Well, that's true. And look, belligerent occupation or whatever you want to describe it as, just because they have guns and court systems, it doesn't change the fact. I mean, you can have 50 nuclear missiles pointing at this city. I'm still going to stand here and say, I'm sorry, you can blow us up all you want. Doesn't change the fact that this is still Yidinji country. You can't change it.
Under belligerent occupation, Yidinji owe no oath of allegiance to Australia. None. Zero. It's the other way around. They better start to understand their standing. We owe them nothing. They owe us something. You know, that's what when you read the Articles of UNDRIP, which is only a declaration, but when you read the International Covenants, the ICCPR, you know, Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, they talk about peoples. The peoples have every right to do what they want to do. And we're going to do. We're a bunch of peoples. You know, the Yidinji Nation is a group of peoples of a society, and we can do what we've got to do. And if we start to recognise these international sphere of law, what's Australia got to offer us? We're giving Australia a chance to come to the table and talk, to talk about stuff that we can get them to do for and on our behalf. But if they don't want to do it, we'll start to take over the role and we'll stand up and we'll be counted internationally and we'll start to tell Australia, look, if you're not careful, we might do a deal with someone else. We might do a deal with Britain, for example. Let's bring the British back, or bring the Canadians, or bring the New Zealand, bring the Chinese, bring the Indonesians. I'm pretty sure there's some countries out there that would welcome and relish the opportunity to come and work with us because of the vast mineral resources Australia has that belong to tribal people and not Australia.
Well, even looking at, let's say, the good book, the Holy Scriptures that are in every courtroom, for example, Romans 13 is very, very clear about that God institutes governments and creates those governments, and if anyone goes against the government, they're going against God. And that's, you know, something to that effect. So then by that logic, God has created the sovereign Yidinji government. So if you don't come under the sovereign Yidinji government, then you're going against God. That's how simple it is. Now, there's all the other laws in the good book too, where if you're going to live by those rules, then be very, very careful, because it is a double-edged sword. So that's why when we look at these things, we can say, well, who enslaved who? The Egyptians put Israel into slavery. Did Yidinji go to England and do that to them, or did they come here and do that to us? Very, very simple.
Yeah, it's another example there of what you're talking about. So, you know, the Bible exists in every courtroom, as you say. And yet, if you look at that verse of Romans where it talks about God creating the governments, well, that's somewhat true, because it's created, if you're looking at the where is it coming from. The Bible is a spiritual document. It's not an economic document. You know, it's not a profit and loss statement. It's a spiritual document. So the any creation of a government has to come from its highest form. So we are created by our highest form, which is cultural, which is traditional, which is spiritual. And that's where the government's created from. And that creation through our tribal elders is recognising our creator through its authority. That's not what Australia has done. That's not how it came into being.
That's right. And, Bumi, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. These three are very good with me, yeah? A little bit of tea is coming in, but I've got a hole up yet. Yeah, well, wait a minute, Jim. See, it's very, make me real strong, you know, and... to be with these three, yeah? See, I took them around and I've been taught, I've been with Mum and Dad and Granddad, you know? And went down to Redlinch and I've got to cover up some tracks there before somebody else muck it up, you know, and whatever. I had a few stones, but this thing that we got, the knowledge, you know? I'm not different from the world, but there's one hour I've been grow up with Dad and them, you know? That's the one I'm talking about. Now, these three, they're really... dynamite to me, and I think about them home. I think about us, oh, up there, all right, and ask them how their family going, and that's the way that we've been going. You know, Dad always asks, be careful on the road or whatever. But the teaching and hunting and all that, you know, this, I'm very proud of you. When I go give a welcoming, I want them to come along too, you know. And see, when I worked in the school at Parramatta in 2000, I've been talking to these other lot who are not from here. You can't come around and hit them kid, or say you lost your language and all that. Aboriginal people went through a hard time, you know. They never had it, you know. So, but we got our little language, we're going to keep on going, you know. And that's why I told all these other tribe were coming to it Cairns now, that, you know, you're going to really treat us good, you know, that we had a very hard time. Yeah, right, yeah, thank you, Mara.
Yeah, that's good, because I think everyone has equally borne the burden. Like, you know, we talked about this, I think, recently about the mob down south and how, like, they were obliterated, but their sovereignty is still there. You know, the language and stuff may have suffered, but there are remnants and evidence and the bloodline is still there. Yeah, and so when we're talking about Gunungurra, Wiradjuri, all the mob, even down in Narum, the Kulin Nation, where I was there a couple of weeks ago, you know, people might make fun of it, or I see racist comments about it. Oh, you're, you know, this and that, and you got no this, that, and the other, and that's very sad, because, you know, as far as I look, the King of England, he still jump on a plane. He's not walking around with horse and cart, or back in the olden times. So why would you expect the Indigenous nations and their leaders to do the same? You know, what is on your territory belongs to you. And if it's a plane you want to use, then that's what you can do. But that way of thinking is gone, isn't it, Gunyara? That the customs and traditions are there, but it doesn't matter if you're using a car, a motorbike, or whatever it is to get from A to B, it's still, the tribal law is there.
Absolutely. And it's not about the artifacts and the physical stuff. This is now about the paper world, and when we go beyond the paper world, the tribal stuff is in the body. You know, this is the living, breathing law that goes at the tribal level. That's never gone away, and it's never going to go away. It hasn't been ceded. No one in Yidinji has given it away. So that's going to always pass down and be shown, represented on a shield. But when you talk about, you know, oh, you've got to go back to a dugout canoe on a tree, no more. That's all gammon make-believe. It says, if you go and read UNDRIP, you can use all the things of modern science to develop your nation. You can go and use a speedboat if you want. You can go and use, oh, you got to use a spear. No more. We want to use a rifle. That's a lot easier. Or you can't use a car. You got to walk around. No more. You know, where were cars developed? They weren't developed in America, for example. They were invented somewhere else, and they were taken over there. Where was the horse and cart made? Oh, you mean the Romans had chariots, so they should be saying to the British and the Americans, oh, you don't use anything with wheels. This is crazy. Oh, you Americans don't use gunpowder because that was made in China. So why say like that? Because most Australians, look, they're very uneducated, and I feel sorry for them. They sort of have this racist attitude because they're very, very, very uneducated, but they've been indoctrinated in the way of the state of the white Australia policy where they look down upon people and think, and they're superior. We are the superior race because what? Your skin white?
Yeah, I think that's a very old way of thinking in terms of backward. But the good thing is that the Yidinji Nation is here and to provide an alternative to that, where you can be part of the nation. You can, your children and their children's can be part of something beautiful and right and true. And that's why, you know, the hats have to go off to the families that are involved with the law ceremony, in particular the Gimoi Wallaburra Society, the members of the society. They were there at the event. And that's their role. And Bobby, you're one of them. That's your job. And it's really beautiful to see the Yidinji mob doing that job that they should be doing, but it should just move beyond the law ceremony now. Not just once a year in front of the court, this, that and the other. It has to be every day. That's my vision for the Yidinji Nation. And others would share that vision, that the right families and the right people are put back into that rightful position that they and their ancestors have worked so hard to keep alive for today.
See, like, you know, thank you, son, like, not lifting myself up. This tree here, they don't make me talk, I just talk. And, like, that's what this other Yidinji got to say too. You know, we're going to give Uncle Talk here to... He's a elder, you know. And so they don't respect me, you know. Which they should be like a Yurulamir, Ganjira, Murumu, and they just lift me up, you know, in the right sense that I'm here, you know. Oh, come out of me, you. And that's why I like giving up welcoming and you know, and telling my little story. About mum and dad, you know, where mum walked from, dad were living and how we were going on and,
Maybe, Uncle, maybe what makes you feel good is everyone is respecting the law and appreciating it and living by the law. That's what makes you feel so good because you're the holder of law down here. So when I come down, I say, look, he's boss man down here in this area. He's got to be because... It'll be disrespectful of me to say no more. You just nobody. You just are one of the mob. No more.
Yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, Uncle's story is very, very clear from our point of view. But there's so many other people's stories from Yidinji. When someone comes into this office and they are from a clan group, let's say, and I get very excited because it's something that about us serving the Yidinji Nation. To see people that we know who are family connected to land and clans and stuff coming in here makes it very, very good for us. Let's go to a break. We'll come back with some final comments.
Hello, my name is Andrew and I'm from Arnhem Land. My band called Andrew Guru Band and you're listening to BBM 98.7.
That's it for today's show. Some final comments. Bumi, you want to say something before we head off?
Yeah, well, we had a good little rain and you lot take it easy out there. And I love you.
Ganyara, you might go?
Look, like you said, enjoy the rain, but don't drink too much of it, eh? You know, you've got running water in the pipe if you want to believe in the colonial world. And, look, go back to the Aboriginal people have to go back to their original law, understand who they are and what the reason is to develop this. And Yidinji is not just a one-man band. Understand, no Aboriginal nation is. The Aboriginal nation is the collective whole lot of your nation. So when I come down, I know there's more than just uncle here as for one on the country here. Same up the top, same everywhere we go. Understand he's not the only one, but he's a very senior lawman. And respect that law that lets you create this government.
Yerlam.
Yeah, like as we mentioned, it was a special day on Monday where the Yidinji flag has been flown the highest in the city of Gimoi. And, you know, it is fantastic to see those steps happening in Australia, because maybe they're getting ready to understand the gift that's being presented. So all the other nations in the continent, yeah, we look forward to helping you as well.
There you go. That's it for today's show this week. Black Law Tribal Edition will be back next week. May God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to the show. In the almighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll catch you next week. Coming.
Like every day, and when you're rolling in the city, yeah, we're quick to say.
Welcome to the far north, where the rich get richer and the poor still sleeping on cardboard.
Welcome to the far north,
where juveniles suffer parkour and tax a car from your carpool.
Welcome to the far north,
we love this place, we come from a little place called Ken's Island.
Welcome to the far north,
this where the cattle run free. Now I come up on, I just follow we.
Welcome to the far north,
jungle as thick as garments from Blue Hub. Some people said they don't see the pot. We made a new one, pressure makes diamonds. So we set independent, smell the salt in the air when these rappers offended. We hit the dawn total, see a nest till they get it. Took the chair from the table, went off going with it. Master P about repeat, they know I got no limit. When it's done, they'll tell their sons do it, how Prophet did it. It's our repeater, cut the game, strong libido, hit the free throw. Still I remain, titan like Dino. It's FNQ because that's all that we know. And we gon' rap it till the day that we dump. Still gotta aim for the throne, straight out the fry pan to the fire. Never seen an idol or messiah. Or till I'm tired, I stay inspired and build in silence. It's all raw, look up encore, you want more?
Welcome to the far north,
where the rich get richer and the poor still sleeping on cardboard.
Welcome to the far north,
where juveniles suffer parkour and tax your car from your carpool.
Welcome to the far north,
we love this place, we come from a little place called Ken's Island.
Welcome to the far north,
this where the cattle run free. Now I come up on, I just follow we.
Welcome to the
been
far north,
on this spot since 2000 and how long? Check, 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 why? Just checking the mics on. Became a Jedi on the mic, I boy with Qui-Gon. Some picking in the inner city, or wait for night come. We suffer times is hard, but taxing cars don't get you paid. Why let them move closer to his grave? All knowledge they got. Know what we ran, rain, come at your ego. We gotta find a better way. I'm broke, you know. Just trying to pay for pave, yet nothing's permanent in life except change. We not got no policemen with their down south ways. All got taser reach for gun, but we take pepper spray. I love the city that I'm born in, that's a common fact. Grew up around the rainforest and the mangrove flats. I'm northbound boy, east of the mountain wall of Pachat. Watch out putting Mipla City on the map.
Welcome to the far north,
where the rich get richer and the poor still sleeping on cardboard.